Have you seen somebody sick and you say the scripture says I can do this and this and this and you did all this and nothing happened? Okay, let me profess to you and say to you, you didn't have it because, number one, not because you didn't have your faith, it's because it was not appointed unto you. Now, that's where I want to start. You were not qualified. Now I got your attention. And we're going to start talking about that today and probably through the next two or three messages that I bring. But today I want to start out by going to the scripture that Pastor Marshall did read. We're talking about church under construction. Go back to the scripture. I think it's before that, Brother Howard. Yes. Now I want you to look at this in terms of a building. Therefore, you are no longer outsiders, exiles, migrants, and aliens excluded from the rights of citizenship, but you now share citizenship with the saints, God's own people, consecrated and set apart for himself. Now, what the basic saying is, Gentiles, Jews alike, you are no longer excluded. We're all citizens, and we all belong to the family of God, and now we are all together, consecrated and set apart for him. And you belong to God's own household. I'm going to take my time because this is kind of slippery slope, and I want to make sure you understand it. He says, you're part of the household. You are built upon the foundation, say foundation, of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself, the chief cornerstone. Now, I'm going to tell you some things that I have to show you in the Word, because if I don't show you in the Word, tradition and what we learned will get in the way of the truth. Okay? Now, here's what I'm going to tell you. Let's go to the next slide. Listen to it. In him, the whole structure is joined together, bound, welded together harmoniously, and it continues to rise, to grow, increase in a holy temple in the Lord's sanctuary, dedicated, consecrated, and sacred to the presence of the Lord. In him and in fellowship with one another, you yourselves also are being built up into this structure with the rest to form a fixed abode, a dwelling place of God in, by, through the Holy Spirit. Now he says right now, the foundation of the apostles is laid, and on top of that foundation, everything else is built. Stay with me. When you build a house, you don't build one part of the foundation and then build the rest of it and come over and put the rest of the foundation and build on top of that and scoot over and put some more foundation. You put the whole foundation down. When the foundation is set, the foundation is finished. And you build on the boundary that the foundation defines. That's going to be very important as I teach this morning. Stay with somebody sleeping, nudge them and say, Pastor said, wake up. Hallelujah. Now that's very important. Why is it important? Go to the next slide. Next slide, please. Hit it again. We are under construction. And what has happened in many churches is that we have not built correctly. And therefore, when the foundation is not correct, the building is not going to be correct. Let me bring it. If the church precepts and church foundation and church truths are not implanted, then everything that's built upon that faulty teaching will cause you to have a shaky church. And when you find that foundation, you have to go back. If it's a bad foundation, you got to dig that thing up and start all over. We have something in place called, and I'm very familiar with them now, we have a zoning board and we have all kinds of things at the county. And you can go and say, I want to build this. And you take your plans and they say, well, This is not the way we want it. That's not the way we want it. And this needs to be this. This needs to be so high and so thick. And until you correct those things, you cannot build. If you attempt to build and an inspector comes by, he's going to make you tear that mess down and start all over. And what's happened with the church today is too many people have been building without permits. And we got people going around thinking one thing that's not biblically sound. And some even feel guilty because they can't do the things that the apostles did. And they think something's wrong with them. I'm here to tell you that the apostles had an assignment. And their assignment was followed by signs and wonders. And when they did what they did, after that, they had nothing else to do. And you are not in that place. And guess what? Ain't no more apostles. Oh, I messed with some folks up in here today, didn't I? Well, our cousin's an apostle. No, he's a wannabe apostle. And I'm going to explain that to you. Well, I belong to Apostle so-and-so church. Now you belong to something, but it's not an apostle that you're working with. Now, we have a modern-day translation, which basically means messenger, but that's not the premise on which people put their churches together. They would have you think that there's something special above everything else that they can do, it causes you to have an allegiance, and it's not biblical. Oh, y'all got quiet up in here. All right, let me explain what I'm saying. Let me go on. Let's go back now. Now, let me plow a little bit. It says, back in Ephesians 4, look at this. It says, and his gifts. Remember when I said last week that God has given us gifts, and the gifts were people. And those people had a place in the church. And here's what I want you to say. This has to do with the church. It ain't got nothing to do with you personally. It has to do with the building of the church. Each individual is part of that building. When in place correctly, the church grows correctly. Stay with me. He said, and his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Go to the next slide. I'm trying to hurry up. Look at 12. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church. So what he's saying is God has given and appointed pastors, he's appointed prophets, he's appointed teachers, and he's appointed preachers, and he had prophets, and they were to come together to equip us in to do the work of the ministry, and we line up to do the work of the ministry under the guidance of the equipping ones, then the church will grow. The body of Christ is set for ministry. I said last week, you are ministers. Pastors are not ministers. We're administrators. Why you say administrator? Because it said we are to perfect. We are to teach. We are to prophesy to. We are to help those who've come to sit under us so your spiritual gifts will bloom and you use your spiritual gifts not at the disco, not at the club, but you use your spiritual gifts for the church. That's what it says. Let me go deeper. Verse 13. Why, Pastor? That it might develop. Listen. That it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of what? Of the full and accurate knowledge of. Now, you might have said, I talked about of last week. He said, listen, I don't want you to come into a knowledge of my name. You know my name. I want you to come into the understanding of the knowledge that I had to do what I did. That of is important. Of the full and accurate knowledge of. That of means that which is possessed by Jesus. So we want to know what Jesus knew. So we can do what Jesus did. But not as individuals, as a collective called the church. Stay with me. Hallelujah. The Son of Man, that we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ and the completeness found in him. And I questioned God. I said, well, God, ain't no way in the world I'm going to be Jesus right here. He said, I know that. That's not why I'm talking to you personally. He said, no individual's going to be perfect. Not till I come back. Paul said that. He said, we'll understand when he comes back. Well, right now, each individual, we can't be perfect as individuals. But when you have the church's elements working, when the pastors are pastoring, when the teachers are teaching, when the prophets are prophesying, hallelujah, when those equipping gifts are going out properly under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, then your gift starts to bud out and starts to mature. And that is the perfecting he's talking about. He wants to perfect it so that we would come to the fullness of who Christ is. We as individuals can't be Christ, but the church is the body of. So now we can be Christ as a body. Stay with me. I get too excited. I need to slow down and teach this thing. Go to the next. So God showed us favor by giving us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to make us, the church, like Jesus was on earth. So Jesus used to go around healing. I don't have that gift as an individual. Every now and then he shows up and heals in my presence, or one of my prayers is answered, but I'm not a healer. He gave some the gift of healing. He gave some the gift of preaching. He gave some the gift of teaching. He gave some the gift of prophecy. All put together turns into Jesus. Y'all missing. When it's all put together, it becomes a church. It becomes the body of Christ. It turns into Jesus. Am I going too fast? Anybody with me today? I'm going to do my best I can, but we have to. I want to get this. This is one of the most important teachings I can give you. Listen to this. Now, he starts out by talking about the roles of the equipping gifts. Say equipping gifts. These are the teachers, preachers, the prophets, so forth. Now, in studying the word, I found and can support by scripture, and it just verifies what the Spirit's been dealing with me with, is that we have many, many people prophelying and apostolying. Because when I study for myself, I found that the apostles had a foundational role. Remember what I said about a foundation? You pour the whole foundation, let the foundation be cured, and you build on top of what has been set. You don't build a section of the foundation, build up another section. No, you put the foundation down and everything else is supported by the foundation. Are you with me? This scripture, Ephesians 2:19 and 22 says, now therefore, we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, which are built upon the foundation of the apostles. The household is built upon the foundation. Stay with me. And prophets, and Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. Does Jesus physically walk among us today? No, he's in us through the Holy Spirit. He says, I've done my work. When he was on the cross, what did he say to his daddy? It is finished. Jesus doesn't need to come down and walk the streets of Jerusalem healing people anymore because he laid the foundations with the apostles. It says the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. In other words, Jesus first came, listen to me, and he lined everything up, listen to me, and now he's taught his disciples, turned his disciples into apostles. And I'm going to show you that in scripture. And now with Jesus and the apostles, they make up the foundation. Oh, Jesus. All right, now listen. It says, in whom all the building fitly framed together, that's the church, that's us, groweth unto a holy temple. The church, when founded and lined up with Jesus, the apostles lined up with Jesus and together making the foundation, now he says that the church, if we fit together in our right places, we're going to grow together and we will be a holy temple. Jesus said, I want a bride that's spotless and holy. He's talking about when we line up the way the Bible says the church should be set up. And when we do that, we can do what the Bible says the church can do. All right. In the Lord, in whom we also are built together as an habitation of God through the Spirit. In other words, God now inhabits a church that's lined up like that through the person of the Holy Ghost. So far, so good. Now I'm going to get slippery with you. Apostles had a foundational role, and when they finished their role, they moved on. Yeah, I knew I'd get you. Say, prove it, Pastor. Here we go. Apostles were to bear witness to the fact. Let's qualify them. What's one of the qualifiers for an apostle? Apostles were to bear witness to the fact that Jesus had risen from the dead. In order to do this, they had to have seen him after he had been resurrected. Apostles saw Jesus walk the street. If you hadn't seen Jesus walk in the street, you are not an apostle. Luke 24:33. And they rose up, meaning the apostles, upon the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11th gathered together. Now, I put that there because in Luke 24, it tells some more things about it. But Luke is the book that has the most information. The 11 were those that were left after Judas had betrayed. Okay, they were called disciples. But at some point, Jesus named the 12 apostles. All right, he had plenty of disciples. Matter of fact, he had 72 at one time. And he put them to the test, and most of them failed except the 12 he had to start with. All right, let's keep going. Luke 24:46 says, and said unto them, to who? The apostles. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye, the apostles, are witnesses of this thing. What these things? What things? My death, my burial, and my resurrection. The apostles were witnesses to this. He said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father unto who? The apostles. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. He was talking to the apostles. He wasn't talking to Richard Scott. Until ye be endued by the power on high. Now he's giving them a command. He says, I want you to go somewhere, and I want you to wait there till the power comes. Go to the next slide. The apostles were handpicked by Jesus after much prayer. You can't appoint yourself as an apostle. Jesus has to handpick you. Listen to what it says in Luke 6:12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. Now, this is just before he appointed them. He prayed over who he wanted. Amen? He says, and continued all night in prayer to God. Look at the next verse. And when it was day, he called unto him his what? Disciples. Now, he called his disciples together. What did he do after he called them together? And of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. My sister's cousin is an apostle. No, she ain't not. Let's go to the next verse. I got to prove it because I understand how tradition messes with people. If we're going to do it God's way, we got to know the truth and walk in the truth. Amen? Amen? All right. Now look at this. When they were looking for someone to replace Judas, the one chosen had to be a witness unto the resurrection. This is probably the most compelling part here. Because now they say we're going to replace an apostle. And they didn't just say, somebody come on and say you want to be an apostle. They said this, being from the baptism of John, meaning from that time frame, until that same day that he was taken up from us. That was a qualifier. You had to be around from the time John the Baptist was until Jesus left. Must one be ordained to be a witness with us? In other words, you have seen the same thing we've seen of his resurrection. Are you getting this? All right, let's go to the next one. Look at Acts 1 and 1. This is Paul talking. He says, in the former account which I prepared, O Theophilus, I made a continuous report dealing with all the things which Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he ascended, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had instructed and commanded who? The apostles, whom he had chosen. But ye receive power. Now listen to this. We're going to Acts 1 and 8. I skip down. Now he says, he chose you. Now what did he say to the apostles? He said, now you're going to receive power, apostles. When? But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. What does that mean? You have to have had an eyeball on me, and you saw me raise somebody from the dead. You saw me open blind eyes. You saw me as I walked the streets of Jerusalem after my resurrection. He says, ye said, ooh, I didn't get very far today, did I? He said, be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And with great power, this is Acts 4 and 33, because I'm skipping the stuff that's not relevant directly to this. And with great power, where did he get the power? He told them that he would give them power when the Holy Ghost came. And he was talking to the apostles. He said, and with great power gave apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And a great grace was upon them all. All who? The apostles. Listen to me. And I'm going to clear it up in my next couple of teachings, because when we get to the church age, some of the power that Jesus gave the apostles was transferred through gifts. But at this point, you can't go to this scripture and read it and claim this. See, we get in here, we'll pick a scripture, and it may have been for Job, and we claim it. I claim this. No, he wasn't talking about you. He was talking about Job. And we get upset when we go and put our hands on somebody and they don't jump up and down. Well, it wasn't for us. It was for the apostles. And we mad. God didn't answer my prayer. I went fishing for my tax money and didn't fish no fish with no money in his mouth. It wasn't for you. That was for Peter. Am I making myself clear? I know, and this is going to be a hard teaching. You can't miss. If you miss a week, you'll miss the whole concept. You got to be here to get the rest of it. And I got to quit, and I'm mad at myself. Let me deal with Paul. Can I deal with Paul? Give me about 10 minutes. Can I have 10 minutes? All right, let's go. Now, we know Paul was different, because Paul was not a part of the original 12. And Paul, if he was going to be an apostle, had to meet certain criteria. The same criteria we talked about earlier. He had to have met Jesus for himself. He had to have seen him after the resurrection. Amen? All right, well, we know he was doing that day because Paul was the one, as Saul, who held the coats when they stoned Stephen. So he was in the right time frame as far as that's concerned. But did he walk with Christ as the apostles? Had he really talked to Christ? No. So people say, well, see, Paul didn't do that, so he's an apostle, so I can be an apostle. Not so fast. Let's see what happened to Paul. Paul said, Paul the apostle, in defense of his apostleship, appealed to the fact that he had seen Jesus after he'd risen from the dead. And in 1 Corinthians 15, 7 through 9, it says, and he's asked the question, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord? Now he's saying that to let you know, wait a minute. Why can't I be an apostle? I've seen him for myself. Now let's see. Are not ye my work in the Lord? In other words, I have done the same things that the other apostles have done in your presence. I didn't just come and say, the Lord heal you. I have done the things that the other apostles have done. People were healed because of me. Therefore, I qualify. Stay with me. He says, after that, he, Jesus, now listen to this, was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, last of all, he was seen by me, Paul, also, as one born out of due time. I'll explain that in a second. For I am the least of the apostles, or last of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. He says, now let me just qualify. You know, you're talking about I'm not an apostle because I wasn't there. Let me explain to you. I have seen Jesus for myself. You have seen the works that I have done here, and I have met Jesus out of season. Well, I didn't catch him right in the first days or two of his resurrection, but let me tell you what I was doing. I was appointed by the Jews to go find y'all and to bring you in and get you killed. I was on my way to Damascus. I was on my way, and as I went down the road, guess who showed up? So not only did he show up, he knocked me off my mule, and he talked to me, and he told me what to do. He appointed me. He chose me. Well, how do you know he chose you, Paul? Look at Acts 9:3. He says, as Saul was coming near the city of Damascus, a light from heaven suddenly flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul asked, who are you, sir? Well, whose conversation was this? The person replied, I'm Jesus, the one you persecuted. Get up, instruction, Paul, he's been selected. He's being selected right here. Get up, go into the city, and you'll be told what you should do. Qualification. Galatians 1:1. From Paul, an apostle, chosen not by any group of individuals, not by the church of God in Christ, and I'm not picking on them, I'm just giving a name. Not by IPHC, not by any group of people, not by somebody say we want an apostle, we're going to make you one because we need an apostle in the storefront on the little stage we made. Hallelujah. From Paul, an apostle chosen, not by any group or individual, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who brought him back to life. Amen. Let's move. Now, when Paul talked about the works he did, there were certain signs that followed the apostles. And apostles were validated by these signs. Listen to me. We were not to go around picking up snakes and think we ain't going to get bit. That was the apostles. I ain't picking up no snakes talking about, well, I'm an apostle. No. It was for the apostles. Listen. I have become a fool. You forced me to be one. You should have recommended me to others. Even if I'm nothing, I wasn't inferior to in any way to your super apostles. Well, I was among you patiently, did the signs, wonders, and miracles which prove I'm an apostle. So if you apostle Sister Sarah Johnson Smith III, where are your signs? Where are your wonders and your miracles? And I'm not talking about this show up every now and then. The apostles had command of this gift. They walked through the streets doing what Jesus did, because Jesus was the cornerstone and they connected to him to make the foundation. And so the corner is part of the foundation. So what the corner could do, the foundation could do. So let's qualify this apostle person that says they have an apostleship. Let's go on. Listen. Number one, they've had to see Jesus for themselves. They had to be born during that time frame that Jesus was there. Now, if you got an apostle that's about 2,000, 60 or 70 years old, maybe I might believe him or her. Hallelujah. Number two, they had to show the signs or the signals, and that was the healings, the miracles that Jesus did, they could readily do. And for a while, see, I'm not just beating up on y'all, I'm talking to me, because I used to go around, Pastor Marcia and my wife are an example of how I used to say, why can't I do this? I read my Bible, I pray, I'm a pretty good guy. It said you should be able to do this, that, and the other, and I'm doing this, and ain't nothing happening. And finally, God slapped me and said, it's not for you to do as an individual. He says, first, you have to look and see who's qualified. The qualifiers were the apostles and Jesus. Amen. All right, let's look at these two, and then we're about ready to go. He says, John 16:23, and when the time comes, you will ask nothing of me. Listen to me, because I'm about to get into next week's. This is a prelude. Precursor, thank you. It says, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, that my Father will grant you whatever you ask in my name. And now we'll find out what that term in my name means, because we all pray in the name of Jesus. What does it mean when you say in my name? Is it just saying in my name? It means as presenting all that I am. Now let me explain that. Jesus, at this time, whenever was any praying to the Father going on, Jesus did it. The foundation was setting the example on how to pray. And he didn't say, Father, in the name of Jesus. No, he said, Father. And he talked to his daddy. And he said, I pray to him. I know he always hears me. And he does what I ask. The foundation, Jesus had that power, that right. He gave that to the apostles. Stay with me, because we're about to get to higher heights here. As presenting all that I am. Listen to me. All Jesus is on earth is the church. The church, guided by the Holy Spirit, is the body of Christ. When the Holy Spirit is in the body, you have the person. He made man out of dirt. He said, we're going to make him in our image and likeness. He breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He took the church and pulled all us dirty folks together. He gathered the dirt. He molded it after him. He breathed into it. And now the church is not an organization. It's a living organism. When the Holy Spirit is present, we are Christ on earth. You got to get this. Now what are we saying? He says, when you pray, ask the Father as presenting all that I am. Now he says, whenever you want something done, you have to be as a church. All the elements must be in place if you want the power to come to do what you want done. I cannot say that I believe, listen, in teaching, but I don't believe in prophesying. I'm going to get to that next week. I'm about to set y'all up. Look at 24. Up to this time, you have not asked me a single thing in my name as presenting all that I am. But now ask and keep on asking, and you will receive, so that your joy, your gladness, delight may be full and complete. What were the gifts to do to the church? He said that we were going to keep those gifts going until it brought the people in the church to fullness and completion. So he says, when you ask in my name, it's not just saying in Jesus' name. What you're asking in the name as a church is, we want everything in place so we can ask the Father whatever we want if we're lined up the way the church should be lined up. But if we're not, you're going to ask for the rest of your days and ain't going to get nothing. Because he said we had to be in his, we had to be what he wants us to be. And he said without faith it's impossible. Well, what do you mean? You have to have faith in what the Word of God says. If he says he gave me as your pastor, listen to me, and you don't, if you don't believe I'm your pastor, you don't need to be here. If you don't believe we have pastors over here that have been assigned to teach you, you don't need to be here. If you don't show up to get taught, because that's the part that's going to complete us. Well, I've been a Christian for 40 years, but you never come to church except on Easter, and you're going to lay hands on somebody and declare them healed? Hallelujah. Oh, y'all give me, I have 4 more minutes. Look at this. Everything about the church has to grow. We understand we're comparing the church to the body of Christ. Everything about the church has to grow. So what happens? The church is born. The church is growing. As we have grown from 7 in my living room to what we see today, God is giving us new heights, and he's adding to the number those who have the gifts necessary to complete the church. And what we don't want to happen is just because God now sends a new gift into the building, your feelings get hurt because they got a gift you don't have. Oh, y'all don't want to hear me today. Because we're going to complete the church as God said it. If God brings somebody in that has a gift, we're going to use that gift. Well, that was my office. No, it's God's office. But we all have to grow. Even Jesus had to grow before he started to do his deal. He was 30, and he's God. And he was 30 before he started his ministry. What does it say? Ooh, y'all skip me. It says that he grew. Go back one. And Luke 2:40. The child grew and became strong. He was filled with the wisdom, and God's favor was with him. Luke 2:52 says, Jesus grew in wisdom and maturity. Well, he was God. But when he came to earth, he had to do an example of what humans were. He was the founder, cornerstone. He says, I grew, you got to grow. How you going to grow if you don't sit under a teacher? So it's not good enough to be a second and fourth Sunday come lately person if you really want to grow in the Lord. It's not good enough to come as a holiday Christian if you really think you're going to get power in him. You got to be under teaching all the time until you grow and mature in him. Next slide. I think I'm almost through. Listen to this. Jesus called his 12 disciples and gave them authority. He didn't give that to me. He gave them authority to force evil spirits out of people and to cure every disease and sickness. See, that freed me up, Pastor. That freed me up. I'm running around with why I'm praying, and ain't nobody. He said, you're not an apostle. I gave that to them. And when we get to the foundational stuff, we'll show you how we have those gifts permeating up into the body. But we are not, there's no apostle walking on streets of West Palm Beach or any other city. He said, gave them authority to force evil spirits out of people and to cure every disease and sickness. These are the names. So in case you wonder, look in the Bible and see if your cousin's name is in here. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, there was Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James his brother, John, the son of Zebedee, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed Jesus. Next slide. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into the city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Who's he talking to? The 12, the apostles. What is he saying to them in verse 7? And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. To the apostles. Now, that was the old, that was when, before the resurrection. After the resurrection, there was something similar had, and I'm closing with this one. This is what happened after the resurrection. He said, but you receive power. Who will see the power? The apostles. That the Holy Ghost has come upon you, the apostles, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria. Well, before he said, don't go to the lost, don't go to the Gentiles. But after the resurrection, he now says, I'm opening this thing up. Now, here's where the transition comes. He's opening it up. He says, go to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, Jesus left after giving that command to the apostles. Unless I'm mistaken, he hadn't come back. Now, once he said that to the apostles, we have a paradigm shift. We move completely out of the old into the new, and this is where we're going to end. This is going to be, I'm going to leave you hanging right here. Because this is what Peter did. Peter is an apostle. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh, wait a minute. The apostles now are given instruction how all of us can get the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. What promise? The promise of the Holy Spirit by remission of sins. And when many others words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they had gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying now the apostles have set the foundation, and now we begin to build on that foundation. The foundation was set. Peter was said, the one upon this rock, this foundation, I build my church. Peter preached the first sermon for the church, and when he preached his first sermon, the church was born, and 3,000 people became Christians on that very day. And from that point on, we start building on that foundation. When I teach next time, you'll understand your individual gifts in relationship to them, and then you'll have some shouting to shout about, because he didn't leave us without power. You just need to understand who had power first and what authority they had compared to what authority you have. And let me express this to you. Don't go out with the big head thinking your gift is for you. Your gift is for the building of the church. And it won't be activated properly, and the church won't be properly equipped unless all of us come together, tightly fitted together, for a building of the church. Keep that in mind, and next time we preach, I'm going to give you your individual gifts and how it relates to the apostles, and then there'll be some shouting going on, because God has given you some good stuff. Amen.